We've been looking at the Holy Spirit, often referred to as the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who work together in this beautiful, powerful, mysterious way of modeling something, even for our church, for the church, of radical unity, how God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work together in perfect power and unity. It's a beautiful thing. We've been talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we talked about how Jesus reveals to us through his Spirit. He reveals to us what we need to know, and he leads us where we need to go. And that was one of the things we looked at that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. But Jesus doesn't just send us off in the right direction with heads full of knowledge. Let me say that again. Jesus doesn't just send us off in the right direction with heads full of knowledge. He has given his Holy Spirit to empower us on this journey so that when we go the right way, knowing the right things that he's revealed to us, that we go in power. Amen? And his Holy Spirit is an empowering gift to us. And we looked at this scripture a couple of weeks ago, but I want to reference it again because it's so fundamental to our understanding of this. But in Acts chapter 1, these are the words of Jesus captured after he resurrected from the dead. So this is post-Easter, but it's before he went back to heaven. And this is what Jesus told his followers. He said, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them. It's a command. Jesus said, this is important. Capture this. Understand this. Don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water. It's John the Baptist. But in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then down in verse 8, he continues and says, but you will receive power. You, my followers, my disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and all the way to Papua New Guinea. All the way to the other side of the earth, you get to be people who bear my name, who get to be my witnesses. So I'm not just going to send you in the right direction. I'm not just going to send you to all these places on your own. I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit to energize, to animate what you do in my name. One of the ways in which God empowers us is through this baptism of the Holy Spirit. This morning, we saw people come to the waters of baptism. The word baptize literally means to immerse, to be immersed. This baptism of the Holy Spirit is an immersion in to God himself, where he takes us and plunges us in so deeply that then we overflow with God himself. And when he baptizes us, he gives us this power then to be his witnesses and to do the work of his ministry. When we look at scripture, there are three particular chapters that we find in the middle of 1 Corinthians that really give explanation to the gifts of the Spirit. Evidently, and is what we're going to look at in a moment, the church in Corinth, okay, the city of Corinth, was one that had received this baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they were ignorant into its use. They didn't really understand it. So Paul takes these three chapters in particular, chapters 12, 13, and 14, in the middle of this book, and talks to them, answers questions for them about the use of the gifts of the Spirit that come in this empowerment when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to look at three verses to begin with at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And go ahead and put them up there on the screen. And And there's three verses here, verses 1, 4, and 7. I would like you to read all three of these chapters sometime between today and next Sunday, because we're going to come back next Sunday and we're going to talk more from here. But in verse 1, Paul writes to the church and he says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." Don't be ignorant. Don't be little ignoramuses. Don't be morons. Don't be fools. Don't be, listen, I want you to really understand, Paul is saying. Don't be ignorant. You need to be informed about these gifts. About spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. See, the church in Corinth really must have had some misunderstanding about the gifts that the Holy Spirit will bring us when we're baptized in this Holy Spirit. And there was some misuse happening. There were some things that, because of some confusion or ignorance, they were misusing some of these gifts. In verse 4, it goes on and says that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. We're going to see in a moment that there's a whole list of gifts that are listed right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that are normal and should just be expected when the Holy Spirit comes on us and we are baptized in His Spirit. There's a bunch of them, lots of, we're going to be looking at those. But even though there's lots of different kinds of gifts, there's one Spirit. So it's not like somebody has the spirit of healing and somebody has the spirit of prophecy and somebody else has the spirit of tongues. No, these are all gifts that come from the very Spirit of God, one Spirit. And then also this word gifts, that He brings gifts, is a cool word. If you were to go back and look kind of at the original language that the Apostle Paul used when he was trying to describe these to the people, the word that he used there is charisma. Charisma is the word. The cool thing about that is that the root word of charisma is charis in Greek, which means grace. Grace. So when he's saying that the Spirit brings all kinds of different gifts, he's saying, these are my gracious gifts to you. God is saying these are grace gifts. These are expressions of just undeserved favor and love. See, because God's grace to us is always undeserved. That's what grace means. That you don't earn it. You don't have to work hard for God's love. He just loves you the way you are. He just loves you so much that His grace is extended to you. You don't have to earn them. And just the same way, when the Holy Spirit would come upon us and baptize us with power to be His witnesses, to be His ministering agents, guess what? He gives these grace gifts to you. Everything that you need, and even that we don't deserve, they are simply expressions of God's love. Verse 7 goes on and says this, "Now to each one," everybody say each one. "The manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good." They're given for our good, so that as we're empowered with these gifts, that we would be able to reach out in love and care for others for the common good. And that common good starts right here within the church as we would minister to each other with these gifts. But the beautiful thing is, and we'll see especially next week when we talk about another one of these gifts, is that they're also meant to be things that are used outside of the church that are going to draw others to Himself, that God will use these gifts. So they're given for the common good, starting with the church and then kind of exploding and overflowing out of the church into our regular everyday lives in the world. And it says to each one the Holy Spirit gives these gifts. See, these gifts are not just given to special people, right? They're not given to like people that have a title, you know, oh, that's, you know, the pastor or that's evangelist or that's a missionary. They're special people, so God's going to give them these special gifts. No. He says to each one. That means me. Everybody say that. That means me. That means all of us. To each one, His Holy Spirit gives these gifts. In fact, let me just tell you this right now. God even gives these gifts to people who are not very mature. Having a gift of the Spirit, ministering in one of these gifts that we're going to be talking about, does not mean that that person is exceptionally mature. Because to each one, guys, we have to grow in our maturity, and what Paul is saying here, in our understanding of these gifts, so that we'd be able to use them effectively. And that we don't use them with ignorance or misuse the gifts, but to actually have an understanding of them, because they're given to each one. Not because we deserve them, they're gifts of grace. Not because we're particularly special or mature, they're given to all of his people who just say, God, I want you to be baptized in your Spirit. I need your Spirit to flow over me so you would also be able to flow through me. God baptizes us with his Holy Spirit so that we can be empowered to be his active presence in the world. But we need to have this power in practical ways. This power needs to show up in practical ways. It's not just like we're walking around like with electricity coming out of our fingers, and it's this like really weird abstract power, and you know, you look at somebody and they're like all emotional in the spirit or whatever. No, we're not talking about emotion here. See, people that are filled with the Spirit don't need to be like falling down and rolling around and being crazy or hyper-emotional. Maybe you've seen some hyper-emotion when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you that that's not necessarily how God's going to show up in power? See, he wants to move through us in powerful ways, but that are also very practical to meet needs for the common good. And can I say, when I'm like hyper-emotional, I don't even know if that is for the common good. But see, he's given these gifts for the common good. So we don't have to like hype ourselves up into some big emotional frenzy and get all crazy. Now, listen, emotions are part of what God's given us. But we don't want to walk in ignorance. We don't want to be foolish. We don't want to be caught up in something that really is more of the flesh than is of the Spirit. So I'm saying there's maturity that is needed there. There's maturity that's needed. But these are meant to be practical. And so these gifts of the Spirit that come when he empowers us are these practical expressions of his power being released in his people. And as if you were to keep reading, and we're not going to keep reading all of these verses, but I want to just point out some things. If you were to read the following verses, verses 8 through 10, there's listed a number of these kinds of gifts. In fact, you just go ahead and put them up there on the screen. And what you're going to see is that he has this list here. Now, this is not a list of every gift that the Holy Spirit brings. If you're to keep reading, even in this chapter 12, you're going to find more gifts that are talked about. But he starts out with this list, and it's I would say this list is representative. It's not total. It's not saying, hey, here's all the gifts of the Spirit. But he said, these are the kinds of gifts that you can expect to have released in you, practical things that are going to be for the common good, both in the church and in the world. And so these are the first gifts that are listed right here in chapter 12. One is wisdom. Simply, right, being able to have this not just common sense, but a supernatural understanding of what's going on in a situation. How many ever need that, right? The gift of knowledge, simply that God reveals something to you, like we talked about last week. He reveals something to you supernaturally. It's not something that you know just because you read it in a book. He reveals something to you by his Spirit that you need to know to minister to others, to live life right, and for that common good. Third one he talks about here is the gift of healing. See, we believe that as the Holy Spirit comes in power, that one of the things that he wants to do is to literally heal those who are sick. And we get to be the ones that would minister that healing gift. What a beautiful thing to know that we don't have to bear sickness. We can bring it to the Lord and experience his healing. Third thing, gift of miracles. Seeing amazing things happen that we have no rational explanation for. The gift of prophecy. We're going to be talking about that specifically next week. It's a profound thing, and that's where God reveals something to us, but it's not just for us necessarily. It's also to give to others, whether it's an individual or to larger groups of people. Discernment. Knowing what is right and wrong. Is that coming from a spirit of light from the Lord, or is that coming from a spirit of darkness? And having a real discernment to say, I don't think we're supposed to go that direction because God is showing me this. The gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is a very interesting gift. It's actually the one that we're going to spend a few extra minutes and talk about today because it's a unique gift. So we're going to come back to that one. And the interpretation of tongues. This one gift, this gift of tongues, I want to start this morning by talking about this gift because I do believe that it's unique. It's not the same as any of the others. There's a real uniqueness to the gift of tongues. And so I think that for us to not walk in ignorance about it, it's important that we would take a closer look at it. Some people are scared of this gift of tongues. Maybe people have been taught that it is not to be used in the church today. Some people I've understood have even taught that it is not from God, but it's from the devil. Wow. So when people have heard that kind of thing about this gift, this grace gift of God that's meant to be used for the common good, we better understand it. And then there's people way on the other side that are like, man, I pray in tongues every day. And we find, as we keep reading in 1 Corinthians 12, that's what Paul, the Apostle Paul, said himself. He said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. So there's this expectation. We want to understand it. But I want to tell you two things prior to getting deeper into this conversation about the gift of tongues. I want to tell you two things. Number one, my goal is not to coerce anyone pastorally, or because I'm the guy up front, to coerce people into discovering the freedom and the release of any of the gifts, including the gift of tongues, if that's not something that God has already stirred a desire in your heart for. There's no coercion. So we're not going to stand up here and try to make people speak in tongues, pray in tongues, release that gift. I believe that God is going to, by his Spirit, put a desire in people's heart for different particular gifts. I believe the gift of tongues is an awesome one. And so I believe that God, by his Spirit, is going to stir a heart of expectation and a desire and a release for that. But I want to assure you that this pastor is not going to coerce you into the release of any of these gifts, and the gift of tongues included. So one of the ways we're going to do that is this morning, we're going to teach about it, okay? But we're not even going to pray for the release of that in this service this morning. And you're like, wow, that's kind of different, because usually when people are up there talking about tongues, they want us to get us talking in tongues. That's an okay thing, but this morning, we're not going to do that. This evening, we are going to do that. And so if you are someone who senses the Spirit of God stirring in your heart, and it's like, man, you know, I've heard about tongues. I've heard other people pray in tongues. I really desire that gift to be released. I believe that everybody who desires that can be released in that gift. We're going to pray over people tonight. And with that experience of the release of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the gift of speaking in tongues, I think it's going to happen with every single person who desires that. That's been my experience. I've watched it happen dozens and dozens of times. But we're going to do that tonight. So you may be curious about this tongues thing. Maybe this is new to you. Maybe your church tradition or your understanding, this has been a little different. But we're not going to coerce anyone into the gifts, but we're going to see them released in powerful and beautiful ways in people's life. We're going to be doing that this evening during our night of worship. The second thing is, so if your goal is not to like get everybody talking in tongues, what is your goal? Simply that we would do what Paul said, that we wouldn't be ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit. So my desire this morning is to take a few minutes and just say, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about the gift of tongues? The tongues is always a language gift, as it implies. It's our mouth, it's our tongue. It is a language gift. And there are two primary ways that we see this in the New Testament released, this gift of tongues. The first way, and it's talked about there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is a gift of a language that we do not know, okay? And we utter it out, but it's to be followed with interpretation. So someone would give a word in tongues, an unknown tongue to them, an unknown language, which we saw first in the second chapter of Acts when the Holy Spirit came upon them. It says that they spoke in other languages. So the first type of tongue that we see in Scripture is one where it needs to be interpreted so that others would have clarity of understanding. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul talks about this. And in verse 4 and 5, he says, "The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues." Hear what he says there? "I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more, to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up." When he says the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, he's not saying like there's like this order of like, hey, you're greater, you're more awesome, you're more special, or you have more grace on your life. What he's saying is that there's a greater level of importance. That if I was to stand up here and begin to speak in tongues to you, you would have no understanding of what I was declaring. He said, what he's saying is, but if I stood up here and gave you a prophetic word, if God revealed something and I spoke it to you, and I believe that we've already experienced some of that this morning. I think we experienced it in worship when Kaylin gave that very strong directive, and I believe that was by the Holy Spirit, about releasing people from fear and walking through those challenging times without fear and with the presence of God. And I believe we also heard something that had that prophetic spirit from Ron and Deborah as Ron talked about being called to the storm. Something rose up in my spirit that said, yes, that's for us. That's not just for you, that's for us. There's that prophetic thing. And that encourages us, it challenges us, it sets us in the right direction, okay? Tongues does not necessarily do that unless it is accompanied with someone who says, I believe that God is giving me the interpretation for that tongue. Now, I don't know if you've been in a church service where this has been demonstrated, but growing up in Pentecostal churches and in Foursquare churches just about my entire life, I've seen this many times where someone would have a word in tongues that would then be interpreted, sometimes by the same person, sometimes by another person. But what the scriptural model is if there's a word in tongues, it must be interpreted, okay? So that's one of the ways that we see the gift of tongues being released. But there's a second way. The second way is using an unknown language that God would give for the purpose of prayer and of worship. This is a different type of this gift of tongues. See, whenever we speak publicly, in order to be understood, we've got to do one of two things. We either have to speak in the language that people understand, the common dialect, right? In our city, that's primarily English and Spanish with a bunch of Mixteco dialects also thrown in. But to speak publicly to someone, you either have to speak their language, right? Or with interpretation. But see, but God will also give us this gift of tongues for this private conversation that we're having directly from our heart to God's. And see, God, because he gave us this gift, he already understands it. There does not need to be interpretation, right? Because he understands it's this language of prayer and of worship where I am praying and I'm speaking in this language that he would gift me with that is this direct communication between God and me and no one else. Nobody else. And so we see this in Scripture. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 14, there's a scripture there Verse 15, where Paul is talking about prophecy and tongues, but he says this. He says, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray in words I understand. He says, I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing in words I understand. Meaning that, like, we can go back and forth between this understanding, all that is being communicated between me and God through prayer and in worship. But there's also this extra release of this gift of tongues that actually transcends my own understanding. I only understand so much, guys. I only understand so much. But when I pray in the Spirit, there's this beautiful thing that happens. And I like the illustration of shifting gears. Now, I know a lot of you have grown up only driving automatic cars. But when I was young, I learned to drive with a stick shift. And you understand something really quickly. You can only go so fast in first gear. In first gear, man, pretty soon, man, you're just whining. You're like, rah! You know, you're like going 18 miles an hour, rah! You know, and it just gets higher and higher. What do you have to do? You've got to drop the clutch and you got to shift gears to get into that next level. Right? I believe this whole thing about praying with our understanding and praying in the Spirit, worshiping with my understanding, worshiping in the Spirit, I believe it's like shifting gears. Because let me tell you, just in the past days, there have been two things that have confronted our family personally, that have been traumatic, very traumatic. Things you just look at and you go, God, why? What is going on? There's an attack that's happening. Can I tell you something? I can pray for those situations in my own understanding long and hard, but I'm only going to be able to pray so far in what I know. But I know this, that God knows all things. He knows everything going on. And in these two traumatic situations, He loves the individuals so deeply and so profoundly. See, He knew them before they were even born. And He knows their today, and He knows their future, and He knows the trauma and the crisis that they're in the midst of today. Way more. I only know like maybe just like 0.0001% of all that's going on. God knows everything. So when I pray with my understanding, I'm kind of praying that 0.0001 prayer. I love these people, so I'm going to pray. I'm going to diligently say, God, bring healing in these situations, bring comfort, bring freedom. But you know, it's like, but then where do I go? See, but when I then begin to pray in a gift of tongues, see, it transcends what I know, and it takes it to that place where I am now praying directly in communication with God about the very things that I don't even understand or know. It's a beautiful gift, and it's powerful, because as you're praying and interceding for our city, as you're praying and interceding for our church, as you're praying and interceding for the world and all the crazy things that are going on, and praying for your family, can I tell you, there's more than we don't know. Than we do know. Praying in the Spirit is this gift for the common good. For the common good. It's powerful. If you have not yet released this gift, oh man, I like Paul want to just say, man, I wish all would use this gift. All. There's a lot more that we could say about this. I'm going to kind of bring it to a head here because we're going to move to communion in just a couple of moments. But I just want to really quickly, I just want to tell you my story of when I released this gift of tongues for the very first time. I think I was about 8 or 9 years old. And I grew up in a four-square church. I grew up in a church. And if you don't know, if you haven't caught on, we're a church that is a Pentecostal church. Some people may use the word charismatic. It's from that word charisma, these grace gifts. We believe that God has given us his grace and that we're to be able to use these gifts to be his active, empowered presence. okay? So I grew up around that, and I'm like, man, this is really neat. I saw how effective this was in people's lives and their prayer lives. And so I grew up in that, and I said, I'd like to experience that. I heard it being taught in the Word. I believe this is for me, but I had not experienced that. And so I went to my parents and some others and said, hey, would you pray for me? And so they really simply just, you know, prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that God, that you would come on this little squirt in power, that you would baptize young Tim just the way that you did in the New Testament. You would empower him and release him with the gifts, okay? Cool. Man, I just sensed God's presence and power, but guess what? Nothing happened. There was no like immediate release of the gifts. And honestly, as I reflect back, I think I was just intimidated. I was kind of like, okay, I know you can speak in tongues, and now I'm understanding through the Word that these gifts are now resident here. He's empowered me. These gifts are resident here, but I think I was just intimidated to release them. So it was a couple weeks later. We'd gone to bed. I shared a room with my brother, my little brother, and I could hear him kind of like snoring away over in the corner. And so I knew that, like, in that dark place, right, that there was kind of safety. I didn't have to feel intimidated, like, to do this. So what I did, this young kid, I'll never forget, I got out of bed. I got down on my knees, and I just began to release this gift of tongues. So it was already here. It's already here. The Holy Spirit comes when we ask him to, right? And he gives gifts to who? To each one. I knew that this gift was resident here, but I needed the confidence to release it. One of the things I discovered that night, and I see it in the Word, is that the gift of tongues is like the other gifts. We actually have to release it. See, when we hear about the gift of tongues, We might assume that, man, does the Holy Spirit like overpower you? And does he grab a hold of your tongue and like wiggle it around and make sounds come out? Most assuredly, in my experience, that has not been the case. Nor have I ever seen that. Could God do it? My guess. But guess what? See, if God gave you a prophetic word for someone, like he put it so strong in your heart, I want you to go to that person and encourage them with this. Let them know how much I love them. Right? Guess what? You could walk up to them. God's not going to grab your tongue and make sounds come out about, I love you. God says, I love you. No, you have to like open your mouth. You have to breathe in. You have to breathe out. You have to let air come over your vocal cords, and you have to give resonance to that. You have to open your mouth and let the sound come out in order for that prophetic word to be released. Duh. Right? That's like common sense. To talk, we have to make the sounds with our mouth and form it and release it. Can I tell you that with the gift of tongues, I believe it's very similar. And there's a lot of things that might inhibit someone from doing that. But the very thing that inhibits it is, I think, part of the beauty of tongues. I'm going to finish with this. I believe that the reason that tongues is very often the first gift that God releases within people when they receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit is because it forces us to come as a little child and to kill our pride. Because when we speak in tongues, it sounds to our own ears and to others who don't understand, it could just sound like gibberish. Or baby talk. But can I tell you this? It's not. Because we understand by faith that he's given us these gifts. But what does it require of us to release this gift? It requires us to come as a little child, to humble ourselves, to not walk in pride. See, because it's kind of easy to walk in pride if we're given this amazing prophetic word to someone. Doesn't that sound good? God used me to give that prophetic gift, right? Can sound pretty cool. Or the gift of healing or miracles. Man, we go and I'm the man. Man, I prayed and that person was healed. In other words, it can make us look pretty cool. Tongues Don't make us look cool. Because we have to come as a child and simply listen to what the Holy Spirit is breathing within us and speak it out. Speak it out. Give our mouths the air and the sound and allow that gift to be released. When I got on my knees as an 8 or 9 year old and released that, it probably sounded something like this. God, I love you. And I know you have filled me with your Spirit. So Lord, I just want to express to you my love through this gift. God, I love you. God, I love you. It wasn't with emotion. I wasn't screaming. And when I was done, I got back into bed and went to sleep. But can I tell you that that very utterance, that release of that gift has from that day forward been there for me. And I'm telling you, I think I pray in tongues every day. It would be the very odd day that I don't. Because when I'm praying for my kids, when I'm praying for my wife, when I'm praying for situations, when I'm praying for our church and for our city, I don't have all the understanding that I need, but I know the one who does. By releasing this gift, by releasing it, we're partnering directly with God. It doesn't need interpretation. He knows what I'm praying. He knows my heart, and we're partnering together to see great things accomplished. If God would stir in your heart to see this gift released, man, be here tonight. No one's gonna coerce you, but we're gonna find the freedom of expression as we shift gears from our understanding and go into something of a release of the gift. It's gonna be a beautiful thing.